Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pause on Holy Tuesday to recount the story as John depicts it in the 12th chapter of his Gospel. A story of Jesus spending time once again with his three friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. John recalls that it was Lazarus that Jesus had raised from the dead. And that really was the pinnacle of what he has come to do up until that point. Because at that point, he is fully revealed to all people. Lazarus was well known within the community of Jerusalem. And so the Pharisees and the scribes and those of the council are watching every move that he makes. There are people who want to see Lazarus. We remember, of course, too, Mary as the one seated at Jesus' feet, and Martha as the one that was busy with the work. Martha comes before Jesus to try to get him to rebuke her sister, and she says to him, "Lord, do you not care that my sister is not helping me?" But Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha, you are concerned about many things. But Mary has devoted herself to the one thing needful." There are a whole lot of ladies named Mary in the New Testament. And sometimes it causes some confusion. And suffice it to say, I'm not going to solve that confusion for you tonight. But I do want you to focus on the important work that Martha did. It is important to prepare for your guests. It is important to keep a cleanliness about where you live, where people come. It is important to make the food and provide those sorts of things, but not to the detriment of sitting and hearing Jesus. Undoubtedly, many of you spent hours today toiling at whatever job you might be working at. Some of you rejoice that you're retired and you no longer have to sit hours on end at a job you don't really like. I, of course, have the best job in the world, which is getting to tell people about Jesus. So I don't dread my job at all. But you have gathered tonight on a Tuesday to hear about what Jesus has done. Mary anoints Jesus' feet for burial. And she uses very expensive oil, spikenard, in order to do that. Judas rebukes this whole thing. And he does it under the guise of, but think about how many poor people we could have helped instead of wasting it on you, Jesus. But notice John calls him out in this. He says, Judas really wasn't concerned about the poor. Rather, Judas was actually stealing from the money bag that he was in charge of. That accusation has been lauded against the church multiple times throughout her history. The church has always built beautiful houses of worship, not because it's necessary to worship in a beautiful house. Yes, you can worship in a home, just like they had to under guise of persecution, in safety. You can worship in a department store. You can worship outside. You can worship in the smallest church imaginable. But even the poor built beautiful houses of worship. Just about 2 weeks ago, our men's group took a trip up to Trinity in Milwaukee to watch as they are restoring that beautiful sanctuary. It was built not by the most richest people of all of Milwaukee. It was built by devoted Lutherans, not to give glory to themselves, but they recognize that this is heaven on earth. This is where the church gathers to celebrate that veil separated, that Jesus comes down to earth to distribute his body and blood. That the church, this holy of holies of the chancel, is filled with the host of heaven, the angels and the archangels. After we went to Trinity to watch as they restore that beautiful place of worship, we also went to St. Josaphat's Basilica. The Polish were by no means the richest people in Milwaukee, and yet they recognized a need to build a beautiful house for the Lord. The church has always built beautiful houses for the Lord. Give consideration to the Cologne Cathedral. Over 600 years it took. Those men, those craftsmen, devoted their life's work to the fine details that you can't even see from the floor. Details that they would never see the end of, but trusting that the Lord would, and that maybe their great, great, great grandchildren would be able to magnify God in that beautiful place. When Notre Dame also had a fire around that same time, people lamented, "Why should it be rebuilt? Don't you know that all that money could be used to help the poor?" Jesus redirects our minds. The poor you have with you always, and you can always help them. And the church absolutely should. But the church should also build beautiful places to devote themselves to worshiping the King of all creation, the one who set the very stars in their places, and the heavenly beings, those planets, in their rotations. It is fitting to do both. The church cares for the widow, the fatherless, the poor, the destitute among us. But she also devotes her proper use of finances to those things that glorify God. 150 years ago, the people of the church didn't have three boats, but they built beautiful places to worship. It's not that they had more money than we do today. It's that they made better stewardship of what God had given them. And that really is what we should consider. How do we tithe? How do we give to the Lord, give back to Him, not to glorify us, to glorify His holy name? How may we help others from the rich bounty that our Lord has given us? When you fast forward, you hear of John's retelling of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We heard this text from Luke's gospel on Sunday. We heard of it from Matthew's gospel on the first Sunday in Advent, Ad Te Lavavi. And what do the people cry out as Jesus comes into their city? They cry out, "Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Christus regnat. Christ is King. How's that for no king's protest? Christ is our King. He is the King of kings. I absolutely have a king, and his name is Jesus. I follow him in his word, and I trust that he sets up governments, and I pray for our governments to adhere to his word, to repent when they go against it, and to submit to his word and will in all things. But Jesus Christ is King, and we shall follow him. There were Greeks who had gathered to worship at the feast. They come to Philip, and they say to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Those words, and I've said it in years past, but I'll say it again because I think it's helpful. Those words are etched on many of pulpits throughout Christendom. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Those words are a reminder to that preacher that he is called by God to point people to Jesus. That his words are not whatever he desires, but rather that he would show people Jesus. And that is what we are still called to do today. My prayer before I step into this pulpit is that God would be upon my lips and my heart this meditation, and that I would preach Christ and Him crucified. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and that I do not proclaim my words, but what He would have for you to know, because I know that He knows better than I do. That is the goal, that you would see Jesus. The same one who prophesied to them that He would be lifted up on more than one occasion. For He says in this text once again, "I am lifted up from the earth, and I will draw all peoples to myself." And John adds the commentary, "This He said, signifying by what death He would die." It had to lead Him to Pilate. It had to wait until the Romans had complete control of that area and had the death penalty of the cross. God's timing was always perfect. All roads would, in fact, lead to Rome. Their government over that place, their punishment of death by a cross. Jesus is not stoned to death by the Jews when they want to stone Him for blasphemy. Rather, He is nailed to the wood, the tree of the cross. That is where He would die. But on His cross, He would be high and lifted up. And that cross would be high and lifted up in Christendom churches throughout the whole world. For that cross shows us Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, the King over all creation. Jesus, the one who saves us now and into all of eternity. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. The church sings, "Lamb of God, pure and holy, who on the cross didst suffer. Ever patient and lowly, thyself to scorn didst offer. All sins thou borest for us, else had despair reigned o'er us. Thy peace be with us, O Jesus, O Jesus. Amen." The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.